Saints, there is a story that there was once a boxer who was being plummeted in the ring. I mean, he was taking a beat down. His nose was broken and bleeding. His eyes were swollen. He had ribs that were broken, and he was in a lot of pain. And this battered boxer's trainer, in between the rounds, he kept trying to encourage him. He'd say, "Fred, you're doing a great job. You're just doing wonderful. That bum, his gloves are barely touching you. You just get back in there and you just do it. Do it. You're doing good." To finally which the boxer responded, "Then you better keep your eye on that referee, because somebody is killing me. Somebody in this ring is killing me." All right, so no amount of pep talk was going to camouflage the reality of his bloody battle in which he was engaged. And personal encouragement could not mask the pain that he was suffering. So saints, in the same way, you and I are engaged in a real battle. A battle of cosmic size, amen, and cosmic proportions. We know that we are facing a real opponent. Everybody say real opponent. A real opponent, because this world, it bears the bloody, painful scars of the conflict. We see wars among nations. We've been studying as a church this human trafficking evil. We see broken homes. We see shattered lives. We see all kinds of abuse and immorality of all kinds. So I want you just to remind your neighbor right now, say, "Neighbor, we are engaged in a spiritual war. We're engaged in a spiritual war. And it is a war with tremendous consequences." And unfortunately, saints, there are many people who don't believe or they don't recognize the war, and their lives are bloody and beaten, and they don't even know who's doing the punching. I mean, it's like, why am I bloody? They don't even know who's throwing the punches. Have you ever had occasions in your life where everything seems to have been going so right and so well, and then all of a sudden, it only took maybe one comment, maybe one action, but all of a sudden your life just kind of flipped the upside down. Have you ever gone to bed just feeling on top of the world? Like, "Oh man, I just feel so good. I feel like I'm top of the world." And in the morning, before you could finish brushing your teeth, the world had flipped over and was on top of you. All right, now, I don't know if anybody else, but I've had that happen a many a day, all right? All right, now, you got that feeling, you know, "Oh, yes, I'm just going to have a great, great time here." And despite our best intentions, there are times when calamity and trouble and confusion enters in, even in the most prayerful of activities. There are times when everyone is in one accord. We all working together. And then the devil pops up. Oh, yeah. He shows up at a program, at a dinner, at a meeting or whatever, at the dinner table. Hallelujah. You put so much time in preparing that dinner. And before you know it, it's all kind of arguments and people mad. And oh, goodness sakes, the devil had popped up. Sometimes he comes as a person. You know, sometimes he comes as an evil idea. Sometimes he comes as a serious destructive action. Sometimes he comes disguised in all kinds of temptations for our life. But whenever he comes and however he comes, he can make life miserable. Saints, I want us to know that everywhere we go, the devil wants to go with us. All right? All right, so on your way to church this morning, yeah, the devil comes to church. Now, we know we was arguing in the car. You know, we was like, what? We just saw it, and then we walk in the door. Praise God. Yeah, but we know the devil was in the car with us. All right, he came on with us. As a songwriter wrote, "Don't let the devil ride, because if you let him ride, he'll want to drive. So don't let him ride." Amen, amen. If you're having a peaceful meeting, everything is going smooth, well, it won't be long. He's going to try to pop up. There's a game, and I don't know what the name of it is, but there's a hammer that goes with it. And they have these things that pop up, and you're supposed to be, you know, so yeah, we're going to learn how to pop that devil back in there. Amen. Now, we're going to get this thing right. Amen. We're going to be involved in so many things. So don't get overly confident that the devil ain't going to show up, because when we get overly confident, whoop, pop, there he is right in the midst. There's a Gallup poll that shows, saints, that only 34% of Americans believe that the devil is a real presence. Only 34%. The same poll shows that 36% of Americans believe there is an evil presence in the world, but they do not connect that the presence is with a real devil. Many of those who answered the poll claim to be Christian. Oh, Lord have mercy. We got a lot of training to do as the family of God. They said belief in the devil is like a figment of superstition. That's what these people in the poll said. And there are many Americans who are fascinated with the devil and demons. And, you know, they put them alongside the Hollywood's Freddy Krueger and the Mummy and Jason and, you know, Frankenstein. But we know, saints, that while the devil does not wear a red suit, he does not have a pitchfork, he doesn't have a tail swinging back there, he does not drink hot sauce, hallelujah. Some people think the devil, that's his drink, is hot sauce. I can remember years ago, a saint, I love hot sauce, I do put it on my meat and everything, I carry it in my purse, hallelujah. And I had gotten it out, and it was at a church function, and I'm putting this hot sauce on my meat. One well-intentioned saint says, you need to quit drinking that hot sauce, because you know what, that's the devil's sauce. And she said, it's going to give you a hot temper, and you need to put that thing away. I was looking at that. Oh, praise God. I was so glad. I was able to go back to her, and I found out, now I can't remember which one it was, that hot sauce actually lowers cholesterol. It lowers your high blood pressure, because it's really crushed up peppers. And so I was able to share that with her one day. She said, well, you heard what I said. You need to quit using that hot sauce. I said, okay, I knew I wasn't going to win with her. That was just the end of it. But the devil don't drink hot sauce, amen. It's just some of us drinking it, amen. Oh, but in the late Flip Wilson years ago, he was so funny. He had a character, and her name was Geraldine. I mean, and Flip Wilson could work that Geraldine. And every episode, at some point, she'd say, the devil made me do it. And we would just crack up because it was so funny, you know, that to think that the devil was making Geraldine do some of the things she was doing and saying some of the things she was saying. But in reality, saints, the devil is not a laughing matter. The devil is not a laughing matter. As Christians, we know that God is real. And just as God is real, saints, there is also a fallen angel who operates on different levels in this world. He works against God. He works against God's people. He works against God's purposes, saints, causing problems. He said he roams to and forth like a lion, seeking whom he may devour, causing problems on every level of our lives. But, everybody say, but, saints, we are encouraged to know that God is still on the throne, saints. God is still on the throne. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. And time is running out for the devil. Amen. And for those who follow him. And saints, the more that we know and understand about spiritual warfare and about Satan, the more we'll be able to understand how he operates in this world. In our New Testament text, Ephesians chapter 6, in verses 1 through 18, Paul, he's warning believers to stay on guard against the devil. And you can look in the book of Peter. Peter also warns believers that the devil is constantly looking for an opportunity to bring trouble into the lives of the believers. So both Paul and Peter, they make it clear that the devil is a real presence, and he is a real threat to the lives of believers. Paul saw him as a force to be reckoned with on a day-by-day basis, saints. And Peter saw him as a relentless predator that always seeks opportunities to devour or to destroy believers. So as we study the scriptures, we're going to learn certain truths about Satan and understand how he operates. Let's start with where the devil comes from. Well, saints, before this earth was created, the devil was an angel in heaven. He enjoyed access to the heavenly realms, and he was stunning, and he was beautiful, scripture says, in appearance. And there are two passages of scripture that tells us what the devil was in heaven and what happened to change his relationship with God. And if you could get your pens and pencils out, because there will be some good things just to jot down. And as you do your devotions this week, you can read some of these passages and these verses and chapters. And one of the passages is Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. This passage tells us of the great angel Lucifer, who desired to be equal with and even more powerful than God. So take time and read that, Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. And also this idea is confirmed in Ezekiel 28, verse 11 through 17. Ezekiel 28, 11 through 17, in which the same angel, Lucifer, is described as perfect and beautiful and a resident of the mountain of God. Now these two passages point out that Lucifer, he wanted to compete with the glory of God. He says, I want all the glory. He wanted to have complete rule over all creation. He wanted to be recognized as independent and even superior to God. Well, saints, because of his vanity and his quest to overshadow God, he got the boot, okay? He was kicked out of heaven. God said, it's time for you to go. You just got to go. And so he was kicked out. And along with the devil, there were many who followed, who were thrown out of heaven as well. And Jesus made reference to this in Matthew 25, 41. You could write Matthew 25, 41. These angels that were thrown out with the devil are generally referred to in Scripture as demons who move and act at his command. All right, let's just start with the essence of the battle that we are in. All right, let me start with stating the obvious. The essence of the war we're talking about, saints, is spiritual. Everybody say with me, spiritual, spiritual. Now, saints, just for a definition of spiritual warfare, it is conflict that is being waged in invisible spiritual realms, but it is being made manifest in visible and physical realm, all right? So in other words, spiritual warfare is a battle between invisible angelic forces that affect you and me. So the cause of the war is something that you and I really, with our physical eyes, we can't see. But the effects of the war are very visible in our physical realm. Amen. And that comes out in the kind of problems and challenges that we have in our lives that we experience. You know, the day-to-day stuff that you and I face all the time. Well, saints, it's hard enough to fight an enemy who you can see, but it's even harder to fight an enemy who you can't see. Amen. All right, so in his classic statement on spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6:12, Paul wrote, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." Amen. So saints, this Ephesians 6:12, this verse identifies the enemy, Satan, and his demons. And we're going to develop this as we go along in this series. But I want to point to you here that we make a big mistake when we think that people in our lives are the real problem. All right? Now, people can be a pain. People can be a mess. People can be even a royal mess. Oh, my goodness. Oh, but it, you know, I had to laugh at the shirt. The shirt was really sad, though. But I saw somebody with a shirt on, a T-shirt, and it says, "Life could be enjoyable if it weren't for people." And then on the back of it, it was terrible. But I don't know. It was terrible that I laughed. But it says, "I don't like people." The person was wearing the shirt. "I don't like people." But you know what? As bad as people can be, they are merely conduits, all right, for this greater battle that we are experiencing. And Satan has been successful in getting us to fight people, you know, getting us to fight and roll our eyes and jump and shout and do, you know, Pastor Kelly mentioned last week the silent treatment we give each other. You know, we do these things, but it's really not the people, all right? Rather than fighting that causes people to be that way, that's what we're really fighting, those spiritual forces, not the people themselves. All of us, All of us have tried to change people who we thought weren't right. All of us have tried to change somebody. Just go ahead and admit it. Now go admit it. It didn't work, did it? We can't change nobody. You can't change nobody. I can't change anyone. Hallelujah. What we need to understand, saints, is that what happens through people, and that includes you and me as well, has its roots in something much larger. The fact does not excuse the wrong things that people do, the wrongs that I do, the wrongs that you do, the wrongs that we do. We are still responsible for our actions. But it helps us when we focus on the real enemy. Amen. Amen. A member of the first service, she came and shared with me. She has worked in a nursing home for years and years and years and years. And she said that she couldn't understand why so many of the residents just seemed to be so mean, just so mean. She said that she would do something and they'd undo it right in front of her, you know, just throw the food at her, whatever. And she said, even her own dad, she couldn't understand. She said, instead of handing something to her, he'll throw it on the floor and then she has to pick it up. When he could have just handed it to her in her hand. So she said, you know what? She said, if it weren't for Jesus, she said, I could be ugly, ugly, ugly. She said, I could return ugly, ugly for ugly, ugly. She said, but thank God for Jesus. She said, thank God for Jesus, because when I get all this ugly, I'm able to give it to Jesus, and I'm able to pick it up off the floor, what he could have put in my hand, and then I just take it on, you know. She said, praise God for Jesus. How many here will just say that? Thank God for Jesus today. Thank God for Jesus today. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. So it helps us to focus on the real enemy, not the person that's throwing the thing on the floor to make you bend down and pick it up. It's really the enemy. It's really not them. Amen. So what? And we're going to get into how do we handle people who throwing stuff on the floor. Okay, we're going to get there. Amen. Now, another foundational principle for spiritual warfare is, saints, everything we see in the visible, physical realm is caused by, it's provoked by, it is at least influenced by something that is taking place in the spiritual realm. Amen. So then, secondly, let's look at the impact of the battle. Even though the battle we're talking about is spiritual in nature, it has very definite effects in the visible and physical realm. You know, when you are in a battle and you get shot, and there's blood coming out, you know that you've been wounded, you've been hurt, and you see this bleeding. And the result of spiritual warfare is the same. And at least three areas of our lives we're going to talk about today. Three areas of life that the battle affects we, God's people. And the first is, this battle affects what? Our personal lives. All right. Now, many believers are seeing the wounds, the bleeding of a spiritual warfare in our own personal lives. It doesn't mean that we or others are doing really bad things, or, you know, it could be that we might have just uncontrolled emotions in our lives. It could be fear, jealousy, anger. It could be a problem like that. Our emotions can give the devil an entry into our lives. You see, to see the relationship between our emotions and our spiritual warfare, we're trying to connect it together today. I want us to look at several familiar verses in Ephesians. Ephesians 4, 25 through 27 say, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak the truth, each one of you with your neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, yet do not sin in your anger. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. All right, so that means how many admit you've been angry? Okay, come on now. All right, so you're angry with somebody. Let's just somebody in your house. So it's best to try to sit up and work it out a little bit. You know, even if we got to sit up till 3, that's easy for me. I'm a night owl. It's getting the early birds to sit up. Well, the early birds want us to get up so we can talk then. All right, but you've got to just start working it out. Because Scripture says if you don't, the devil will just take that opportunity and he will just squeeze right in through whatever that emotion is. Amen. So please take notice, amen, that failing to control, for example, anger, grants the devil the opportunity to get a foothold in your life. And then he can use it as a base of operations. That's just the start. Once he gets in, he can use it as a base of operations to launch more spiritual attacks against you. Hallelujah. Many Christians are suffering today, saints, because of emotional things that the devil uses to get in. I'm going to use anger for an example today. Anger that is not resolved. Anger that is not resolved on the road, we call road rage. And road rage is when you see someone else in another car who you think is not fit to be behind the wheel. And they just make you so upset. You're like, where did they get their license at Kmart or something, you know? So that's where road rage, and we just be fussing and cussing and just carrying on. Now, air rage, that's a new one. And this term is used, we're just going through so much at the airports. Now, we got to go through so much. But it's to describe disgruntled passengers who are growing increasingly upset with the airline industry. Thus, they're taking their frustrations out on the personnel of the airline, cussing them out. I don't want to wait till tomorrow to leave out of here. It's just called air rage. It's real ugly. So I want us to see, if you spell the word anger, A-N-G-E-R, and you put a D in front of it, it spells danger. That emotion can lead to very dangerous situations. Anger made Cain kill Abel, saints. Anger made Saul lose his throne. And anger caused Moses to smite that rock. It was anger that got Moses in that deep trouble with God. Saints, I remember several years ago, right down on St. Clair, when Finest was down near 71st Street, the grocery store. And I went down there, and there was one car. He was patiently waiting for this car to pull out so he could come in. So he's waiting, all right. And I had gotten out of the car. I was heading toward, but I was just watching. And there was another car who just, when this car came out, you know, this one couldn't come right in because he backed out that way, but he had been waiting. This one comes from around there. He just pulls right in the space. Do you know that man was so mad? He pulled his car behind his car. He jumped out of his car, and he pushed on his door, and that man got out of his car. And do you know they started beating each other down? In a few minutes, praise God, Cleveland police were there. And a few minutes after that, both of them was in police cars. And instead of going in to get their groceries, they went down to the police station. They went to jail. And it was anger. It was anger. And it could happen. When they went to the grocery store, they had no idea they was going to end up in jail. And then the way Satan uses it, whoever was at home waiting on them groceries wasn't happy that ain't no milk came down, ain't no bread. What? He down at the jail? What? We ain't got no food for the. Okay, so then, as the saying goes, the dad yells at the mom, the mom yells at the kid. The kid's coming, kick the dog. Then the dog go and he kicked the cat. And then the cat go over there and bite the rat. And then after the rat, he's so mad, the rat just go over and kick the wall. That's all he could do. Just go kick the wall. Okay, so it's like Satan just uses one little way to get in. And before you know it, it's a whole trail of anger. A whole trail of anger. He uses it as a base opportunity to keep launching attacks upon us. The saints, anger is just one assortment of human emotions that Satan tries to seize. And if Satan seizes our emotions, he can destroy us, saints, by crippling us emotionally and leading us into all kind of manner of destructive behavior and actions and addictive behaviors in our lives. This morning, a first service person told me if it weren't for Jesus, she would be out in the world right now, responding to all kinds of emotions that she experiences in her life. She said she would just be out there kicking and doing every kind of thing she could be doing. So she said that's why she's here every Sunday, so she can get reinforced and re-encouraged to keep on loving, to keep on making decisions that glorify God, to keep on striving to live with excellence in action. She said because the devil is always picking with her. Amen. As he does with us all, saints. In our lives, we never know when and where the devil is going to pop up. Oh, my goodness. So we must constantly, as Paul says, be on guard against evil. Well, saints, for some, the best of saints have been spiritually destroyed by Satan popping up in our lives in a weak moment. I mean, you would just never dream how Satan could pop up, but he's been studying us, as our Old Testament text said. Many marriages and families have been ruined by Satan popping up. And as Christians, we must be aware Satan is always busy, 24/7. Satan don't take no vacation. He ain't taking no coffee break. He is watching us, seeking whom he may devour 24/7. Therefore, saints, we have to work together as a people of God to build up the congregation of God by preparing each other, preparing ourselves for that day when Satan is going to come and visit us. Unexpected. He's an unexpected visit. But he comes in our individual lives. He comes in our families. He comes in together as we are the family of God. And he tries to ruin our marriages, our families, our relationships we have with one another. He is busy. So let's move on to the next. The battle affects what else? Our family. Amen. Many believers are feeling the blood from the gunshot wound, the effects of spiritual warfare in our families. You see, the devil messed up the first family in the Garden of Eden, and we've been dealing with the effects of that sin ever since. Families have become the casualties of spiritual war, saints. We are discouraged. We see families who are depressed. We see families that are downtrodden and feel defeated. The unemployment rate, that Satan just uses so much to discourage people and cause them to go in paths that God did not intend for them. Others experience all kinds of casualties, marital and family, divorce, conflict, abuse. There's some of the battle scars that believers bear. And saints, the devil knows the family is the foundation of our society. Families is the foundation of our community and of the world. And if Satan can come in and step on the family and make us discouraged and tear us apart, then really the world will fall apart. Because the family is the basis that keeps us all together. Amen. Amen. Now this battle, thirdly, also affects what? Our culture. Finally, spiritual warfare affects the life of our nation. Oh, the whole culture is affected by this warfare. I want you to write down Daniel chapter 10. Just write Daniel 10. And sometimes in your devotion this week, just read Daniel 10. Because according to passages like Daniel 10, entire nations are influenced by this invisible battle in the angelic realm. Saints, pray, scripture tells us, for our leaders. I pray for our president every day, amen. President Obama needs our prayers every day. And so does our mayor. So does all of our leaders. So do all of the leaders of the world. We need to be praying that they would be taking God in account in all of the decisions they make. Amen. That God's will would be accomplished in this world. That's why we have to pray, saint. Because this war affects every area of our life. All you have to do is turn on the news, world news, local news. You can see the effects of the spiritual warfare. Open the paper. It is so sad. There is no way we can avoid the conflict. There is no foxhole that you can go into, or no sand you can stick your head into that will keep you from the effects of these battles of the forces between God and the forces of Satan. I want you to tell your neighbor right now, no place to hide. There is no place to hide. Amen. No place to hide. So saints, looking at the location of the battle, where in the universe is this great battle called the spiritual warfare being fought? Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:12, it is in the heavenly places, which means the spiritual realm. That's where it's being fought. In Ephesians 2:2, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. And he's called the prince of the power of the air for good reason, saints. There is no place that we can escape. And so we need to learn how to fight. Just high five your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, learn how to fight. You got to know how to fight. You got to learn how to fight. Amen. Learn how to fight. For you see, our ability to deal with the spiritual realm, saints, will determine whether or not we lose or win in the physical realm. Amen. You see, Satan's job is to get us to ignore the spiritual realm, or to discount its worth and what it really means. Don't give it much value. But if Satan could just distract us or could just divert us, He can keep us from finding spiritual solutions. And that's where the victory and power lie. Oh, praise God. Tell your neighbor, but no weapon formed against us can prosper. Because of Jesus Christ, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Amen. So I want you to tell your neighbor, because we got weapons too. Amen. We got weapons too. Let's talk about those. Amen. We got weapons. Praise God. We believers, what we forget is that while we're in this battle with our enemy, that he's got weapons, you know, forming against us, we have weapons too. We are engaged in this warfare with the devil and with his demons, but our response, saints, is not with the sword or with the knife. It's not with cussing back. It ain't with stabbing somebody back. It ain't with whatever mean thing we could do. That's not what Jesus has told us to do. Our warfare is completely unorthodox. And what we use is totally unexpected. Why? Because we are fighting a spiritual warfare. Now, Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 10:4, Paul said this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Amen. We've got to pull down so many strongholds in our lives, saints, that are defeating us. Like David, who used an unexpected weapon when he was fighting Goliath. Amen. We too, we believers, must do the same. All right, I want everybody to shout with me, defensive weapons. Defensive weapons. Amen. We know what enemy Satan is using on us, and he's got things we ain't even thought about because he's had thousands of years to study and practice. We know that he's working against us. But Ephesians 6, 11 through 18 gives us our weapons, the weapons we need for defensive warfare. All right, these defensive warfare weapons, they include the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, and peace-loving footwear. Hallelujah. And Ephesians 6, 18 gives the strongest of all of the defensive weapons, which is prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer for ourselves and prayer for one another. Keep each other lifted up in prayer, saints. Every night we go to bed and I say, well, it's time to pray, Pastor. We got to pray just to make it today. I say that every night. We got to pray just to make it today. I know he's like, oh, here she comes. We got to pray just to make it today. But we got to pray, saints, just to make it today. Amen. So we have defensive weapons. We also, everybody say with me, offensive weapons. Offensive weapons. Our offensive weapons are unusually and highly unorthodox. But they succeed, saints, because they have been ordered by our commander-in-chief, who is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself. So they will succeed, saints. They may seem strange to us. You know, there are scores of weapons that God has given us at our disposal. And I just want to lift up five more. They're in the Word of God that have been commanded for us to use, for us to experience victory in our lives against Satan and his demons. The first is, and I hope you're jotting some of these down, and I'll give you the scripture to go with it. The first is returning good for evil. Everybody say that with me. Returning good for evil. And write down Luke 6:35. In Luke 6:35, Jesus said, "Love your enemies. Do good to them." Now, saints, this might sound counterproductive because it requires us to return good for evil done to us. But it's a powerful weapon, saints. If the man who had been patiently waiting for the car to pull out so he could pull in, if he would have just offered good for that evil that had been done to him, even when he was in the store, just said, you know, speak to him. And that man would say, "He spoke to me. I thought he's going to try to punch me in the nose." But you know what? Scripture tells us to do that. Return good for evil. And as the member said this morning, when her dad throws stuff on the floor, She said if she picked it up in her own flesh, she could throw that back at him and really make it smart too. But she lovingly picks it up and does with it what needs to be done, because that's returning good for evil. Amen. This is a powerful weapon that makes it difficult for an enemy to continue to attack us when we continue to give good for evil. So that's the first thing. That's the first weapon. It's very powerful. The second is, say with me, joy in the midst of trials. Joy in the midst of trials. James 1:2 says, we should, everybody say should. We should count it all joy. We should count it all joy when we're being tried. You know, that sounds so strange. Says, are you kidding me? No, that's what the Lord Jesus said. Amen. When we're going through, not just waiting till we made it through the whole thing and then say, well, praise God. No, praise God while we're going through, so that God is able to show himself strong and do things even beyond what we possibly could even have imagined to have done. Amen. And having joy in the midst of trial. As Laverne says, no test, no testimony. So if you don't go through nothing, you ain't got no testimony to give, all right? So to have joy, to know God has brought me this far, hallelujah. I got joy when I think about what the Lord has done for me and shall do for me. Thus it confuses the enemy, saints, who is trying to destroy our happiness and step on our faith and kick out our love and then try to destroy our hope. It confuses the enemy when the enemy sees us praising God, hallelujah, in the midst of trial. The enemy say, what? I'm trying to stamp them down. And look, they praising God more. Look at them, just praising God. They're just confused, amen. Now the third is, say with me, trust in God always. Trust in God always. Psalm 37:3, it reminds us. Everybody say though. Say the word though. Though the wicked seem to triumph all around us. We looking around, it seem like the one to take the many breaks. They got the raise. They got the, it's like, what? Are you kidding me? You know? But you know what? Our best weapon is to trust in the Lord and do good. God is watching. That's what is most important. God sees all. Hallelujah. And God will show God's self strong to you. So despite the enemy's attacks on you, trust God always. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and confuse the enemy. Keep on trusting God. And the fourth is, saints, give thanks. Say that with me. Give thanks. That is a powerful weapon against Satan. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything. It doesn't say for. It says in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Whatever's going on in the middle of it, give thanks to God. Hallelujah. And when the enemy sees believers giving thanks for the arrows that are being shot at them and for the backstabbing, you know what? If there's an arrow stuck in your back, they say, well, praise God, I'm still standing and I'm still able to move on here. You come over to one of your sisters and brothers in Christ and say, could you take, yeah, thank you, Eula. Could you pull the arrow out in the back for me? Thank you very much. And we get put salve on each other's backs. Hallelujah, praise God. But in the midst, give thanks and then watch what God will do. God will, just leave the revenge to God. God will handle it. God will handle them. Don't you go trying to straighten. Just you give thanks to God. Amen. What the devil means to discourage us, praise God, we will continue to give thanks, and God will be glorified, and God will bless our lives beyond our dreams. Amen. And the fifth one I want to talk about today is never be distracted. Say that with me. Never be distracted. Romans 8, 38 and 39, they tell us, keep moving forward. Never get distracted by the enemy or the weapons he's forming against us. Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature in all of creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. High five your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, keep going forward. Oh, keep pressing forward. Keep praising forward. Oh, keep thanking forward. Praise your name, Lord Jesus, with joy, hallelujah, in the midst of your trials, returning good for evil. Oh, we've got weapons that the Lord has given us, saints. I want you to high five your neighbor and say, victory is yours. Victory is ours today. Today Today, victory is ours. Today. Now, I want you to lovingly remind your neighbor. Put your armor on, neighbor. Put your armor on. Put your armor on. Put your armor on. Don't you go out naked. Put your armor on. You come out. You wake up in the morning. You have your devotions with the Lord. Take time to put your armor on. And then say, now I'm armed and dangerous. Woo! You know how some of the dogs be scratching up like, I'm armed and dangerous. Go ahead and scratch your feet. All right, amen. I'm armed and dangerous. Praise God. Put that armor on. Amen. This past week, I saw a movie at Blockbuster. I was going through, and I walked by this shelf, and I looked at the title, and I backed up, and the title said, I sure hope they got beer in hell. I said, what? And so I looked at it, and it had a man with a beer in his hand. He had a woman under this other hand, and she was half dressed, and I read the caps, and it says, you know, as far as world standards go, and he's going for as much beer and women as he can possibly try to handle. And so the thing of the movie was, he sure hoped they got beer in hell, because he know that's where he was going. But you know, those who choose that lifestyle, I just felt sorry for him, the makers of the movie, and anybody else who believes that. But you know what? When we choose to think that hell is going to be a continued party, oh, we going to have fun with our buddies, we going to keep drinking beer and do it all. Oh, let's look here at Revelation 20:10 and read it together. And the word says, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Does that sound like a party to you? It sure ain't no party I want to go to. Hallelujah. So how many will declare with me today, oh, I'm choosing heaven today. I'm choosing heaven today. I'm walking this road in Christ right now because I'm choosing heaven today. Oh, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Saints, I want to close with a story of God's grace shown to us. The enemy of this world, Satan, was on the side of life's road with a very large cage. And the man coming toward him noticed that the cage was filled with people of every kind, young and old, every color, every race, and every nation. And the man asked, where did you get these people? Oh, Satan said, from all over the world. Satan said, I lure them in with drinking and drugs and lust and lies and anger and hate and love of money and all manner of things. I pretend I'm their friend, out to give them a good time. And then when I've hooked them into the cage, they go. And the man asked, well, what are you going to do with them now? Satan grinned and said, I'm going to prod them. I'm going to provoke them. I'm going to get them to hate and destroy each other. I'll stir up all kinds of hatred, all racial hatred, cultural hatred, any kind of hatred I can think of. I'll stir defiance of law and order. I'll make them bored. I'll make them lonely, feel dissatisfied, confused, and restless. Oh, it's easy, Satan said. People will always listen to what I offer them. And what's better, then they'll blame God for the outcome. And then what, the man asked? Those who do not destroy themselves, Satan said, I will destroy. None will escape me. The man stepped forward and said, can I buy these people from you, he asked. Satan snarled, yes, but it will cost you your life. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, paid for my release. He paid for me to get out of that cage. He paid for your release. Jesus Christ, with his own life, he suffered and he died on the cross of Calvary that we might be set free. And scripture says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm free today. I'm free today, saints. I am free. And early one Sunday morning, hallelujah, Jesus rose from the grave to another level with all power and victory in his achieve victory. The devil was defeated at Calvary. And one of these days, saints, the devil is going to get the boot, and all of his angels are going to be thrown into the lake of fire, where they will exist not drinking beer, but in torment forever and ever on another level. Victory in Jesus! Victory in Jesus! Victory is mine today. Victory is yours today. And we, by the power of Jesus Christ, because Jesus has all power, we can say, devil, get behind. Woo! Because victory today is mine. When you wake up in the morning, you have your time with the Lord, you put your armor on, I'm armed and dangerous now. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. And you step on out to your, you step on out into your daily life because you got the victory. Would you stand with me? And let's just praise God just for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Oh, it's all because of you, Lord Jesus.